for those of you who don't know, we've been progressively going through the economy of God. And right now, we've come to the beginning of Economy of God, chapter 6. And so this morning, we're just going to kind of introduce this particular section. And then we'll continue it on the week after we get back from San Juan. Mm. So next week, we'll be in San Juan Capistrano. So you'll just have to wait. But hopefully you're reading. I would encourage you all to read. Even if you just read the 4 or 5 pages that we're covering, then it's not just, you know, just listening to it, but you can kind of enter into it because you've been reading it yourself. Okay, so chapter 6 of the Economy of God is on the inward and hidden parts. And so before we get into the outline, I'd just like to mention, where do we get this expression, inward and hidden parts? I'd like somebody to look at Psalm 51, verse 6. And that passage mentions, in David's prayer there, mentions both the inward and the hidden parts. So if someone could read that for us, that would be good.
Psalm 51:6?
Yes, Psalm 51:6.
Behold, you delight in truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you would make known wisdom to me.
Amen.
Okay, so in this verse, it mentions two things. It talks about the inward parts, and it talks about the hidden part. Now, we all know our outer part. We have our outer part. That's our physical body. But what are the inward parts, and what is the hidden part?
Amen.
Well, in this verse, the footnote, of course, is helpful here. It says the inward parts are the parts of the human soul.
Amen.
The mind, the emotion, and the will. And the hidden part is the human spirit, which is hidden within the soul.
Amen.
And I didn't have it with me. I forgot to bring our whiteboard, but I've used before the three circles.
Yeah.
Too bad we don't have a big old whiteboard right here on Paul's wall. Then we'd do three concentric circles like a big bullseye. And we know, of course, the outer part is our physical body. And the in-between part is the human soul. And the center, the bullseye, the inner center circle is the human spirit.
Amen.
Okay, that's the hidden part. And a lot of people, they don't know. And they think that the soul and the spirit are the same thing.
Right.
Because they just can't find out where is the spirit. Is the spirit? Well, it is hard, admittedly, because the spirit is the hidden part.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hidden within the soul. So sometimes people get it confused. You know, I've told some of you, I have this blog. And on my blog, I sometimes get more than 100 clicks a day on one post that I've had running for about a year and a half or two on what's the difference between the soul and the spirit of man. So there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people out there that
That's
are longing
right.
to know. And it's not a minor question, because it has a lot to do with our experience
yeah.
and enjoyment of Christ.
Yes.
Consider how
yes.
much the human spirit
yes.
has to do. I mean, we're born again in our spirit.
Yes.
We're regenerated in our spirit. We're being built up into a dwelling place of God in spirit.
Amen.
I mean, the whole situation among Christians today could be greatly helped if people knew, not only in doctrine, but subjectively, the difference between their soul and their spirit. So we'll get there. Now, the other thing is about this matter about the inward parts. Go another step. Somebody look up Jeremiah 31:33, and someone else look up Hebrews 8:10. Now, Hebrews 8:10 is a quote by the writer of Hebrews from Jeremiah 31. But there's a difference there. So why don't you, just someone read that. Read Jeremiah 31. Who's got that one? What does it say? Do you have that one?
I have Hebrews 8:10.
Okay, who's got Jeremiah 31?
But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares Jehovah. I will put my law in their inward parts
okay.
and write it upon their hearts.
Good, that's good.
Amen.
So I will put my law in their inward parts.
Amen.
Now what does the Hebrews 8:10 say?
For this is the covenant which I will covenant with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will impart my laws into their mind. And on
okay.
their hearts, I will inscribe them.
So, so in the quotation in Hebrews 10, it uses the word mind. Well, that points to the fact that the mind is of the inward parts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the hidden part we pointed out is our spirit. The inward parts is composed of the parts of our soul. The leading part is our mind.
Right.
So if we were going to use, go back to that circles on the board, in that in-between circle, we'd chop it up into like three pieces of pie there, you might say, three little sections. One would be the mind.
Right.
Then another would be the emotion, and the third would be the will, not because you can, you know, in fact, you can make those kinds of distinctions, but because our soul has these three parts. So now let's come to this little outline. And we're going to talk about the first part of the chapter addresses mainly the three parts of man and then the three parts of our soul. And because there's so much in this chapter, we're going to have to wait till another time to finish the other parts. It's just too much to cover at one time. Okay, so let's read Roman number one. The three
parts of man, spirit, soul, and body.
Now for these, I embedded the verses right in the outline. So let's read A, and somebody read the verse there. Okay?
1 Thessalonians 5.23 indicates that we are tripartite, or of three parts, spirit, soul, and body.
So sometimes we use this word tripartite. What does it mean? It means we have three parts. Now, where do we see from the Bible that man has three parts?
Right.
Albert, what about 1 Thessalonians 5.23? What does it say there?
And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete.
Okay,
yeah.
So that verse says explicitly spirit and soul and body. There's a distinction. You never say your soul and your body are the same thing. Well, neither should we say that our spirit and our soul are the same thing.
Yeah.
But some people say, you know, it's not the same. You know, spirit and soul, it's just kind of a matter of semantics, you know. Just no, that's not true. Now, to take it a step further, let's look at Hebrews 4:12. This verse tells us that there's a definite distinction of spirit and soul. So
yes.
Let's read this little point, and then we're going to read this verse. Hebrews 4:12
mentions the spirit and the soul. And the dividing of these two parts. If we would know Christ and enter into him as our good land, we must discern the spirit from the soul.
Okay, how about Hebrews 4:12? Who wants to read that? Peter, you got that one? We'll read it. Go ahead.
For the word of God is living and operative, piercing even to the dividing soul of soul and spirit.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So if I had a big old butcher knife, you know, real strong, and I could take a, you know, some piece of bone and whack right through it and cut through the bone and I could get to the marrow. Well, in the same way, we need the butcher knife, you might say, of the word of God to chop right through our thick soul and pierce to the marrow of our spirit. So even though it's talking about three parts, you can see it by spirit, dividing of the soul and the spirit, and joints and marrow. There you have body, joints and marrow, then spirit and soul. The comparison there of the dividing or discerning points out that the soul and spirit are kind of like the joints and the marrow. So that's why it's hard for people sometimes to know their spirit, because you got to get through the thick soul.
Right.
Okay, but the point of this verse is quite clear. It says dividing of soul and spirit.
Amen.
So as believers in Christ, we really, if we're to apprehend, to enjoy Christ, who's now in the deepest part, that is our spirit, as we saw previously, indicated by the three parts, the Egypt, the wilderness, and the good land.
Yeah.
If we're to enter in and to joy and walk in Christ, to be rooted and being built up in Christ, we've got to get into our spirit.
Amen.
And to do that, we have to get through our soul. Okay, so now here's one other verse that shows the distinction. Let's go to C. In
Luke 1:46 and 47, the soul and the spirit are again distinguished.
Okay, Rich, why don't you read that one?
Luke 1:46, 47. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit has exalted in God, my Savior."
Amen.
Okay, so these are not the same. They're two different parts, and they have two different functions. So the spirit is able there to exalt in God. It has the worshiping, God contacting function. But the soul is the magnifying. It's reflecting, it's expressing. So we need not only a spirit to contact God, to receive God, but we need a soul to reflect God, to magnify God, to express Him.
Amen.
Now let's see, let's go on to see what is the makeup of our soul. Two.
The three parts of the soul, mind, will, and emotion.
And so I'm thankful our brother did a thorough study going through the Old Testament and the New Testament to see what exactly is the soul of man.
Right.
Some people don't know. So they get some confusion here. So let's consider what the Bible says. A, how about, Daniel, why don't you read this, let's read A and then you read Lamentations 3:20. A, the mind, the part in the soul that knows, considers, and remembers.
Lamentations 3:20. My soul remembers them well.
Okay,
amen.
So in Lamentations 3, it talks about our soul remembering. Well, we know remembering is a function of our mind.
Yeah.
If you want to pass your test in college, Daniel, you need to do some remembering, right? It's not good enough to read your textbooks and daydream, because when you come to the test, if you don't remember the points, you're not going to pass, right? So you need to remember, and remembering is a function of the mind.
Amen.
And here it says that it's my soul remembers. So we need to realize one of those sections of the soul is the mind.
Yes.
Okay, now let's come to B.
The will, the part in the soul that makes decisions, chooses, refuses, and seeks.
Okay, how about Paul, why don't you read Job 6:7?
Amen. My soul refuses to touch them.
Okay, so here is Job was speaking, and he says, my soul refuses. Well, for your soul to refuse, that's a function of your will. To choose something or to refuse something. So that shows that our will is also a part of our soul.
Yes.
Okay, now let's come to C. The emotion, the part in the soul that expresses love, hatred, joy, grief, desire. Okay, Jay, you want to read Song of Songs 1:7?
Song of Songs 1:7. Tell me, you whom my soul loves.
Okay, so the lover in Song of Songs, speaking of her beloved, says, tell me, you whom my soul loves. Okay, so this shows us that love, which we know is a feeling of the emotion, is a part of the soul. So we have within this God-reflecting, expressing organ, three parts. The mind for knowing, considering, remembering, the will for deciding, and the emotion for expressing love, hatred, joy, grief, and desire. Okay, now let's come to D.
These verses establish the ground to verify the three parts in the soul, mind, will, and emotion. These parts cover all the functions of the soul.
So, if you study through the word, it'd be hard to find other functions of the soul. There's other functions of our inner parts, and we'll have to cover that later, about the parts of the spirit and the parts of the heart. But this shows us our soul, and we need to have, we'll see in the later chapters, how we need to deal with our soul so that our soul can carry out its God-created intended function. Because we know our soul was damaged by the fall and was became, you might say, not useful for God. So now we need to know these parts, eventually in God's salvation, to have allow God to recover these parts so that through them, that the Lord can be magnified and expressed through us as He desires. So I'd encourage you to read this chapter. And then this, of course, is mostly just on the teaching side. But we'll get to the experience. But it's like a math class.
Right.
If you don't learn the basic elements of it, it's going to be hard when you get into doing some experiential work, you know, or some problems to really be able to know what to do unless you know have the building blocks, the components. So I think that's probably good enough for this part. But I'll tell you the truth. One good thing is that this book, The Economy of God, you can download it for free from massministrybooks.org and have it on your handheld device.
Right.
I'd encourage you to do it, actually, because you know it's just a PDF that Living Stream gives away for free. But to show people the three circles on here, and do you know that God made you with three parts? Somebody might say, what do you mean three parts? Yeah, three parts. What are the three parts? Let me show you a diagram. Then you show them the three circles. I tell you the truth, this kind of thing could be make a deep impression on somebody's their thought. And then they say, and you know what God wants to come? God wants to come into your deepest part. You see what I'm saying? So anyway, I encourage you to not just say, I know this, but to equip yourself with this. So when you're sitting on an airplane next to somebody for 4 hours and you have some consideration, maybe I should share the gospel with them. You could kind of pull something out and say, have you ever considered that God made man with three parts? This would be maybe a big help to them. Okay? So anyway, amen. Hopefully this will be a good building block for our future times.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. Amen.